Romans chapter 15, look it with me again. We'll read quickly those verses that Pastor Galacki already read. In verse 13 through 16, the Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace of God that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." Let's pray this morning. Our Father, help us, Lord, to understand your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what has already been said and done, the music and such, and Lord, that it might bring us to the point of the message, that it would help us to prepare to worship you and to honor you. But Lord, help us also receive from the word of God. Fill me with thy spirit. Lord, I really need your help. Father, we thank you for these visitors that are here. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that we'd be able to help them with the word of God as well. And so, Lord, speak through me today. Use your word of God in a powerful way. And Lord, may the spirit of God reach in and touch each heart and life today. Change us and make us more like Jesus. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message this morning, and I don't mean to mislead you, I want you to understand that the Bible is very clear that there's one gospel. As a matter of fact, Paul admonished others that if there be any other gospel, if anybody else comes to you with another gospel, let him be accursed. There is only one way, amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's one gospel, one way to heaven. And I don't want to confuse you today, but the title of my message is this, The Many Faces of the Gospel. The Many Faces of the Gospel. I don't mean to change anything about what I just said. I believe there is one gospel and only one. But you know, God the Father has many names, doesn't he? We know him by Jehovah, the Almighty God. We know him as El Elyon, and we know him as Adonai and El Shaddai and all these other names. And each one of those names reveals to us a different part of God's character. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is the living Word. We know him as Savior. We know him as Messiah. And each one of those titles reveals a different attribute of Jesus Christ. Well, in the Bible, we find six different titles for the gospel. I want to go through those this morning and help you to understand how God is trying to reveal himself to us. Let me say this. God does not speak to be understood. He speaks so that he may not be misunderstood. God did not give us his word to confuse us. He is not the author of confusion. He has given us his word that we might know and understand him better through his son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning we want to look at the six different gospels in the Bible, which are not different, but they're different revelations of the same gospel. Let me give you that word gospel. First of all, the English word gospel just means, it comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word, good spell. The word spell is the word for tidings, so then we have good tidings. You remember the angels came to the shepherds on the hillside and they bring them good tidings of great joy. And so we have, the word gospel means the good tidings or the good news. And so the word gospel is just an anglicized form of that word. We haven't altered it at all. And it also comes from the word evangel, which has the same meaning, to herald the good news. I'm so thankful that God has given us the good news. Amen. We would be lost in dying if we did not know the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us today, we're so thankful that you're here. And we've sang songs already thanking God for his salvation and what he has done for us. And you may be here today and saying, I'm not sure what that means. Maybe you're here today and you say to yourself, if I were to die today, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to hell. I just don't know for sure. Let me say this, friend. You can know for sure today if you're saved. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The songwriter said it like this, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I hope that for the next few minutes you'll just listen and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts. Don't turn away from the truth of God's word. If you're not saved today, you need this message. If you are saved today, could I encourage you to do this? Would you sing that song of old? Sing them over again to me, the wonderful words of life. We ought to appreciate any time the gospel is preached, any time the good news is shared. But would you also do this? Would you pray for those that are lost? It won't offend me at all if the Holy Spirit burns your heart during this message and you drop your head and you begin to pray for somebody That doesn't offend me at all. We need to see people saved. Amen. So go ahead and pray for the lost today. Let me give you the first title. We find it in Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. We see that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Look at that next phrase. Ministering the gospel of God. We find that phrase seven times in the Bible where the gospel is referred to as the gospel of God. Now, many times we've heard it called the gospel of Jesus Christ, haven't we? We've called it the good news, but here we see it specifically as the gospel of God. You say, well, what is the difference? Well, there is no difference. But this phrase of Scripture tells us where the good news originated from. It was in the heart of God from the very beginning. The plan of salvation was laid out in eternity past that God would send His Son, Jesus Christ. We can prove it all through Scripture. John 3:16, we all know it. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it originated in the mind of God. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We find in verse 9, the Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. If you'll turn back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read in verse 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I want you to notice that it is called the gospel of God because it was God the Father that originated the plan of salvation. Can I tell you this today, friend? God loves you. You need to understand that. That if God the Father was willing to send His only begotten Son to let Him walk in the filth of this world and to be betrayed in the hands of sinners and to die on a cruel Roman cross, that's ultimate love for you. We need to understand that this is not just the gospel of Jesus Christ, but this was the plan of God from eternity past, that when man would fall to sin, God would send a Savior to save you. What a wonderful blessing we have through God's plan of salvation. I want you to know that since it belongs to God, He guards it jealously. Revelation chapter 22, I'll read it to you in verse 18. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of his prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I want you to know that God guards the plan of salvation very jealously. He's very careful about our understanding of it. And so He's laid it out in Scripture that whosoever will may come. He's laid it out in Scripture, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. Let me say this, friend. God has said to us very clearly, it's Jesus plus nothing. Is anybody awake this morning? If you are to be saved today, you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone and absolutely nothing else. Your baptism will not save you, although it is necessary for obedience. Your works will not save you, though they are important and they show forth our obedience to Christ. Being a good person will not save you, will not get you to heaven. You must be born again. That is the plan of God. It is the gospel of God that we would trust His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at another phrase this morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. So first of all, we see this morning it is the gospel of God. It is God revealing Himself through His Son. The Bible says in John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We have the wonderful privilege of knowing God. Matthew chapter 4, we see another phrase that appears three times in the Bible, and we see it in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching, here it is, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So secondly, this morning we see the good news of the kingdom. I'm so glad that when I got saved, I have the promise of John chapter 14 that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a wonderful promise to know that when I'm saved, I entered into the kingdom of God. That I'm now a child of God. I'm part of the family of God. It's such a wonderful privilege. It's called the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom because that's what happens when you get saved. You enter into Christ's family. We have a young man today, Brandon Fallington, who's going to accept, who's already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, who will be baptized at the end of our service and enter into the waters of baptism and follow in believers' baptism in a matter of obedience and make his public profession of faith. And we're so thankful today that the moment that Brandon got saved, he became a child of God. The moment he became saved, he understood John chapter 1 and 12 that says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We're part of the family. We've entered into the kingdom. You know, a lot of us lack assurance in our salvation. That one verse really helps me, John 1:12. I've dealt with a lot of children and talked to them over years, and I'll say, you know, what's your father's name? And we'll just work with Brother Walsh here. Brother Walsh, what's your father's name? Gerard. If you were to do something terrible as a teenager, and I'm sure you did, if you were to really mess up bad and your father were to say to you, "Josh, you're no longer part of my family, get out," does that change anything? Does that change your position as a son? Just because we say it, we cannot change it. We're always going to be our father's son. There's nothing we can do to sever that tie. Now, we may get thrown out of the house. We may have some sort of rift come between us. But on your birth certificate, it says your father's name. And on your death certificate, it'll say your father's name. Nothing can change that as long as you walk on this earth. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Nothing can change that, my friend. You are a child of God. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have" what? "Everlasting life." If you can lose it, is it everlasting? No. You know, when we were first married, my wife had worked for a doctor. Dr. Klepper, I think, was his name. And he gave us some pots and pans. And on them they said, "Lifetime warranty." Well, I won't say anything about my wife's cooking, but she wore them out pretty quick. And we thought, well, we're going to go ahead and cash in the warranty. Amen? I mean, that's what it's there for. But we found out that that warranty had exceptions and limitations, and they were tied somehow to the smoke alarm in our house. I don't know how that works. But for some reason, we couldn't collect on what was promised. You know, when God says you have everlasting life, that's a guarantee. There's no holes in that agreement. It was signed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have His Word as a guarantee. Let me say this, friend. If you ever got to the gates of heaven, and you know for sure that you obeyed God, and you were saved according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if God, He never will, but if God ever said to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" all you have to do is hold up your contract. All you have to do is says, "Because the Bible tells me so." Amen? Even God is bound by His Word. And so we can trust that is the gospel of the kingdom we have entered in. The Bible says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Once you're saved, you're part of God's kingdom. Listen, it bears repeating today that the gospel is all of God. You had nothing to do with your physical birth. How many of you had anything to do with your physical birth? Not a thing. You can have nothing to do with your spiritual birth either. God saves you. It is all of grace. And by His grace, He'll save us. And to be born again, we'll enter into His kingdom. Let's look at a third one today, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. How many of you are glad you're saved today? Amen. Amen. How many wish you never got saved? That's good. Romans chapter 1, in verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. In the Word of God, we see this, the gospel of His Son. In Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, is for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So we have references in the Bible to the gospel of the Son, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. My friend, He's one and the same. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That is who is the subject of the gospel, if you will. Not just because Jesus went everywhere preaching the gospel, but because He is the very theme of it. Let me say this. You cannot get saved today apart from Jesus Christ. There's no way. There's no way into heaven apart from Jesus Christ. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, many may try to tell you, well, you just need to come to God. You must come to God. That is no doubt about that. But you must come through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You must come through Jesus. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. And why shouldn't Jesus have a part in it? It was He who came to this earth and died upon a cross and shed His blood for your sins. I'm so tired today of those that would minimize the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think about it today, it's blasphemous. It brings our Lord and Savior down, and they bring Him down and say, He's just a good teacher. He was just a common man. He was just a founder of a religion. My friend, He was the Savior. He was the Messiah. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We must never bring Him down. But we must understand that we must come through Him and Him alone. If you ever hear somebody that says, well, just come to God or just surrender yourselves. No, we must come through Jesus. You must come through the blood. You know, there's so many today. For 7 years, we rented a building in the United Church of Canada. And I know I'm on TV and I might get in trouble. I don't care. But I'm here to tell you, friend, that they tried to take their hymn books and take out any references to a masculine God. My God's the Father, the Bible says. They tried to make it out of their hymn books. I'm afraid that one day maybe we'll start taking it out of our Bibles. But friends, you must come through the blood. Jesus Christ died and He shed His blood for the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. We need to know Jesus Christ and come through His Son. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. 1 Corinthians 1:23 says, but we preach Christ crucified. Let me ask you, friend, if there's any way, other way to be saved, why would Jesus have to die? Did I lose this? If there was any other way, why did Jesus have to die? We must understand we must come through Jesus Christ. You know, I think we have taken the Lord Jesus Christ and lessened Him in some way. We come and we sing the songs, but friend, we really need to pour our hearts out to Him. He is our Savior. He died for us. The story is told about a preacher in New York many years ago who preached a so-called Easter sermon, and he said this, the body of Jesus still sleeps in a Syrian tomb, but His soul go marching on. That is not the gospel, my friends. We serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. We serve a risen Savior. There's another song I like. It says, don't try to tell me that God is dead. I just talked to Him this morning. Childlike faith, believing that we have a living Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, Acts chapter 20. Turn there if you will. If you're in Romans 1, just turn back a few pages. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. The Bible says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the gospel of grace of God. I want you to notice that last phrase with me, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. With this one statement, he brushes away all merit of self, doesn't he? I saw an illustration once and talked about faith and works. And it showed a little man in a rowboat. And on one oar it said faith, and on the other oar it said works. And when he tried to crank that just faith, he just went in circles. When he tried to crank just works, he just went in circles. And when he worked them both together, he was fine and he went in a straight line. But friends, we're not going to heaven in a rowboat. We don't need works to get to heaven. We need faith. Now, works are proof of your faith. The Bible says that we are to show our works by our show our faith by our works. Works are like speaking, if you will. When you speak, you prove you have a tongue. You understand what I'm saying? But when you do works, you prove that you have faith. But they're not necessary to be saved. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Listen, friend, if you're going to go to heaven today, you must go by faith. By grace. There's no other way. There's nothing you can do to work your way to heaven. You say, well, I've got lots of time. We just received news this morning. Some of you might be familiar with Mr. Steve Currington. How many have heard that name? He is the founder of Reformers Unanimous, the program that is used to help many. As a matter of fact, he was saved and was a drug addict when he was saved and developed this program to help others. He suffered a massive heart attack 4 o'clock this morning, went home to be with the Lord at 45 years of age. And we look at something like that and we say, well, we've got lots of time. No, you don't, my friend. None of us are guaranteed of tomorrow. Can I challenge you to do something? The next time you're at a funeral, walk through the graveyard. You'll be amazed at how many children are buried there. You must come to Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. You can never do enough good works to get to heaven. You must trust Him by faith and let His grace save you. It is the gospel of the grace of God. Look at another quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today. We have two more I'd like to share with you. As we look at the different snapshots or the pictures of the gospel, if you will, we see, first of all, it's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of the grace of God. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we see that it is the glorious gospel. Verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." It is a glorious gospel. This is speaking about His exalted position of Jesus Christ. You know, the gospel is complete when Christ entered in the Holy of Holies in heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. The work was finished, the veil was rent, and access was granted for you and me to go to the Father. Now let me tell you what happened. When that veil was torn from top to bottom, it allowed us access through Jesus Christ to go boldly into the throne room of grace. What they had physically on earth was the temple and the Holy of Holies, but spiritually we can go to the Father anytime we need to. But do you know what we find in that Holy of Holies? In there we find the mercy seat, the forgiveness of sin, where the blood was applied. The day that veil was rent in two and Jesus Christ shed His blood and died, friend, there was no need of any other lamb anymore. There wasn't enough bulls and goats that could shed their blood. Now the spotless Lamb of glory, Jesus Christ, had shed His blood once and for all. And it was applied to the mercy seat for you and for me. There we find a place of petition and worship. Hebrews chapter 4 says we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. When we come into that place, not only do we come to Jesus, we also get to meet the Father. That's why it's called the glorious gospel, because it grants us access to God. Let me ask you this, my friend. Have you taken advantage of that? You know, there's so many things out there, so many resources available to us. And I hope you take advantage of those things in your life. But Lord, the most important thing is the access we have to God. That is one of the most wonderful privileges we have as a child of God. Now think about that. You can go boldly anytime, night or day, and pour your heart out to God. The story is told of a man who was dying, and his pastor went to see him, and he was a man that loved the Lord, was saved. The pastor said to him, "Is there anything I can do to help you?" And he said, "You could teach me how to pray." He says, for some reason, when I pray, I just don't feel like I'm getting through to God. And I'd really, in the lonesome hours of laying in this bed, and he says, at night I can't sleep because of the pain. He says, I'd like to be able to talk to God. He says, and I just want to know that God is hearing me. The preacher wisely pulled a chair up beside his bed, and he says, here's what I want you to do. Just through the eyes of faith, picture that you're just talking to the God right there through Jesus. So the man began to do that, and just began to talk as if he was talking to a friend sitting by his bedside. Began to talk to his father and talk to the Lord and just converse with him. And just he said to the preacher a couple days later, it's just become so much easier just talking to a friend and giving him my needs. A few days later, the man went home to be with the Lord. And the daughter called the preacher. She says, well, my dad died this morning. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'll come right over. She says, maybe you can help me with something. She says, when we found him, he had crawled over on that chair and laid his head upon that chair beside his bed. You see, through the eyes of faith, he just put his head in the arms of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, taking advantage of this wonderful privilege. Knowing that you're talking to God through Jesus Christ, any sinner who humbly enters in will be covered by his blood if we just come to Jesus. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And finally this morning, turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 this morning, we see one more thing that's so important. We see that it is the everlasting gospel. Aren't you glad it's not temporary? Aren't you glad that once you're saved forever? Revelation chapter 14, it says in verse 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Well, I'm so glad the gospel never changes. Aren't you? I've had a hard time understanding some things. This summer when we were traveling, we were in Salt Lake City, Utah, and so I went down to the Mormon temple and took some pictures. And I went through their genealogical society and different things, and I thought, I'm just going to do some research, and if I ever teach on them, I'll have my own pictures. And I got looking at the historical part of it and stuff, and it was interesting that years ago, it was okay for a man to have lots of wives. But then somewhere along the line, because the laws were getting tougher, the prophet changed his mind. The prophet who speaks on behalf of God said, no, now you can only have one wife. And I got thinking, did God change his mind? He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. We see through the Catholic popery, we see for years they've changed their standards and changed their doctrine and changed their mind. But my friends, the gospel will never change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is the everlasting gospel. I'm so glad that I won't get to heaven one day and Jesus will say, well, didn't you get my bulletin on December 25th, 2010? I changed a few of the standards and you didn't get the bulletin and you weren't listening to what I was saying, and so you can't come into heaven because things have changed. No, it's the same. If you were saved as a child 80 years ago, it's the same salvation these children need right here on the front row today. It's everlasting. It will never change. We have the promise of God. His saving power is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by the way, because it's everlasting, there's no need of any other gospel. The gospel that was given to us 2,000 years ago, it's just good enough today too. Nothing's changed. The world will come along and they'll try to add to it. Don't you let them. The Bible says, let him be accursed. They'll try to take away from this. Well, is that really relevant to the 20th century, the 21st century? That sure is. God wrote it. And he could see the end from the beginning. You know, I was visiting with a lady, Brother Larry Brown, and I were trying to share the gospel with her. And she had a lot of questions about the New Testament, and she finally just said, well, you know, I just think God's a chauvinist. And we kind of backed up a step. Careful, lightning was coming, you know. And we said, man, we ought to be real careful talking about the Lord like that. God can do whatever he wants. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I told her, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand why God did things the way he did. But he's God and he can do whatever he wants. And when we find that we don't line up with the Word of God, it's not the Word that's wrong, it's us. And we need to change our lives and adapt our lifestyles to what God says, and it'll never change. It's always the same. It is the everlasting gospel. Listen, friend, let me ask you this. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? This gospel was given that you might have eternal life. Maybe there's somebody here today say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Let me say this. The only thing that keeps you from being saved is your sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," in Romans 3:23. And Romans 6:23 expounds on that, and it says, "But for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin is what keeps you from heaven. Sin is what keeps you from having eternal life. But Jesus Christ will give you the gift of eternal life today if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. Romans 5:8, as we already said earlier, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And of course, 1 Corinthians 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, are you saved today? Do you know Jesus? You know, that's the only question that really needs to be asked. When you stand before God, they're not going to ask you about your works and what you accomplished in life. The only question that will need to be answered is, are you washed in the blood? Do you know Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, help us to understand, and maybe there's one here today that does not know Christ as Savior. Would you speak to their hearts? Would you help them to see that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is the gospel of the grace of Christ. It is the everlasting gospel. It has never changed. It's always been the same. And they must come by faith through the gospel and be saved today. Help us in our invitation time and speak to our hearts. Maybe there's others that have needs here today that you could meet through your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, help and minister to them now, we pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the piano begins to play.